Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily French Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Marius Ruart. Let's get into it. And of course, the national dialogue on BEE is continuing, with many opinions being written across many media outlets. This particularly good one comes from Tony Leon, who titles it "To Be or Not to Be BEE," and goes on to talk a little bit about how sort of almost out of touch the ANC seems with the debate on BEE. So I'm just going to read some bits from Tony Leon's piece here. He said, quote, "I shared a platform at the Franschhoek Literary Festival with ANC grandee and former Top Six member Matthews Poser. He advised the audience that while the ANC had performed poorly in the 2024 election, his old party had, quote, learned nothing from its setback at the polls and in the next election would do well just to win 30% of the vote." Leon goes on to say, "With economic growth at a pathetic 1% or so, far from the 5.4% GDP growth promised by the now in National Development Plan chaired by Ramaphosa himself, and with 12 million work-age South Africans unemployed, it would seem sensible to reconsider or recalibrate." But of course, the ANC in recent days has shown an extreme reluctance to do so, despite the growing hostility, not just in terms of the evidence towards BEE, but also in terms of popular opinion. It's not just surveys done by us at the IRR that show that BEE isn't really not that popular, but even institutions like Media 24, who are far more friendly to BEE ideologically, have found that BEE is at best a sort of split issue with half the country opposed and half in favor. The ANC has, of course, offered the numerous defenses. We had the president in parliament saying that BEE would continue until everyone is equal. And Leon, in his piece here, after stating this, points out that Ramaphosa has a net wealth of 6.4 billion rand. So I don't know, does he also have to give up some money to make us more equal before we can get rid of BEE? It's not clear. And he also makes reference to a remark made by the Minister for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, Maropena Ramakgopa, who told the Financial Times last week that, quote, "Scrapping BEE is not a good thing. It would outrage ANC supporters and lead to a revolution." Marius, this is a point I think we just really need to hammer on the head here. BEE is really not that popular. I've just talked about some of the polling, but it's, you know, our polling in particular has found that BEE, especially when you give people an alternative, you say, would you rather have BEE or would you rather have economic growth? Would you rather have BEE or would you rather have tax-funded vouchers, whatever? People overwhelmingly choose the alternatives when presented with them. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think for the ANC, BEE sort of become an article of religious faith. And you see it, Tuli Modern Sailor tweeted yesterday or the day before, that, you know, we need BEE because, but basically said we need BEE because, you know, there's been no evidence that BEE works. If BEE did work, we wouldn't have seen unemployment and unemployment go up since 2010. Poverty stayed pretty static, but that's probably possibly because of things like the increase in social grants and stuff. But I mean, there's some provinces where basically half the people are unemployed, and our per capita incomes have pretty much stayed the same since 2010. In the beginning of the 1990s, your average South African was richer than the average global citizen. That's changed now. I think your average South African only earns about 70% of what the average global citizen earns. So if things like black economic empowerment was supposed to empower black people, but it clearly hasn't. It's empowered a very small elite group of people, which we all know. If it did work, we would not see the scale of poverty we have. We wouldn't see people trying to scrounge a living all the time. As William Gumede said, it's BEE has helped actually only about 100 people to the tune of about a trillion rand. And that is absolutely obscene. And some of the people who benefit from it include people like the president. I mean, President Ramaphosa, he was given, you know, shares and so on in big businesses, seats on boards. And, you know, obviously the guy does have, you know, talents in certain areas, but I think building businesses probably isn't one. But we've seen this happen. And BEE is about enriching a small group of cronies. It's got nothing to do with helping South Africans. And a lot of the defenses for BEE are just, as I say, articles of faith, same as what the minister, was it Ramakgopa said. if we get rid of BE, we're going to have a revolution. What evidence is there for this? There's zero evidence. As I was saying before the show, is do we think there's going to be a revolution because people who are living in terrible conditions in townships are going to be upset that a BE billionaire isn't going to need another 100 million rand at the end of the year?
Exactly right. And I want to just, you mentioned what Tuli Madonsela was saying in defense of BE on X, where she said, when people attack the theory behind BEE and related reparative measures, get the simple logic that you cannot achieve economic equality by treating people you have placed in unequal economic and social positions the same. Equal education won't address straight state-created land and economic disparities. It's not superior logic. It's not advanced maths. It's what they used to call arithmetic, hashtag social justice, hashtag equality, hashtag equity. This is, I think, a really ignorant view of actually how an economy works and how a society works. People trade things, people move things. If you have a healthy growing economy, you need to employ more workers. You need to train more people. You need to invest in new products. You need to exchange properties. These are all things that happen when you have a healthy functioning economy. It's not like a sort of stasis where everything is just frozen. This isn't like a giant machine where things were 30%, 60% white privilege, and so you just wind the machine back to zero, or maybe slightly onto 30% black privilege so that the scales even out. This is a completely like simplistic view of society that actually doesn't correspond to reality. If we had economic growth in this country of 5%, there are not enough white people in the country to be taking all those jobs, to be taking all of the wealth that has been created. And we've already seen this. We've seen the creation of a black middle class. Now, some people will say, oh, well, that's just because of BE. But I think that's also, quite frankly, rubbish. If you go and you look at any private sector job, most private sector institutions, particularly larger organizations, are pretty diverse. They have the middle class is actually a much more multiracial, much more diverse segment of society than anyone in South Africa's sort of political debate ever seems to kind of take notice of. And, the evidence is before our eyes that we've already had black South Africans who have escaped despite all of the terrible policies of the government, despite the fact that economic growth has been so anemic, especially for the last decade. We've had people escape this trap. And this kind of implication that unless there's discrimination, we will never have equality, any sort of real equality, I think is like, it's so wrong. One doesn't even know where to begin attacking it from. It's like claiming that the moon is flat and made of cheese. Like, where do you even start? Any more thoughts, Maurice?
I don't want to, obviously, Tuli Madonsela is, she was a very good public protector, and hopefully, I doubt she listens to this podcast, but I think she's a very good example of an IYI. She's an intellectual yet idiot, because she just, as you say, this is a very simplistic way of looking at the world, as if there are these two groups, and you just, as you say, you take out 10% of rich white South Africans, you just replace them with 10% of rich black South Africans, whatever. Economies are very complex, and this is, as I said before, this is not, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Countries around the world have got richer and lifted people out of poverty. How they've done that? Through economic growth. And it's not a cultural thing or any of this kind of stuff. It's happened across the world on every single continent. It's about economic growth. You need to make it easy for people to trade and make sure that the investments are safe. And that's how you'll grow the economy. And that's how you lift people out of poverty. And of course, what happened in the past was terrible. It was one of the worst things that's happened, in history. But you can't change the past, unfortunately. And it's the same as driving a car. When you drive a car, you have to face forward. You have to look behind you sometimes when you're driving. You have to check in the rearview mirror. But if you look in the rearview mirror all the time, you are going to have an accident. And that's a problem. If South Africa's a car, all the driver does is look behind him. And it's going to crash soon.
If China could bounce back economically from something as absolutely horrific as Mao Zedong's policies, which engineered, the great famines of the 60s, the terrible economic chaos, the Cultural Revolution, and becoming a society where extreme poverty measured on the international standard, I think it's of a dollar a day, is effectively eliminated. If India can basically do the same thing after, you know, literally hundreds of years of foreign conquest, colonialism, all the things that people will bring up about the history of India, South Africa can do it too. You don't need 300 years of discrimination the other way, as I've heard some people argue before you achieve equality. What you need is growth, development, and freedom. And those things will grant you a society which provides for all of its citizens. All right, so let's move on to some research done by Investec, which has found that if South Africa had simply kept pace with some of our emerging market peers, countries like Brazil and Turkey, that South Africa's economy would be almost 40% larger than it is today. This means achieving a growth rate, if we had achieved a growth rate since 2010, of about 4.5%, which is, I think, eminently doable, and in fact is below the target set by the National Development Plan, or indeed targets set by our own research in the pathway to growth that the IRR has done, where we think that sort of 6% and higher is an achievable economic aim. This has been caused, of course, by many things: power outages, crime, disintegrating infrastructure, poor policies like BEE, overregulation by groups like the Competition Commission, and overtaxation of some sectors, which has left us with a much higher than we should have experienced debt to GDP ratio, higher unemployment, and an enormous amount of human potential stifled. On a per capita basis, the rest of the world is now wealthier than the average South African, as Morris said in our last segment, whereas we actually used to be kind of on par with the average of the world. So I think, Morris, this kind of illustrates precisely the sort of point of how much potential has been lost here, in that we are significantly behind where we should have been. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you, I mean, there's not much more to say. I mean, we've obviously made a couple of wrong turns, and we can all point to where they are. And unfortunately, I mean, this is attributed to Einstein. I don't know if you did say it, but he said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And that's exactly what's going on in South Africa. And I mean, I also like to point this out, this low economic growth, it's got actual consequences for real human beings. You know, it's not just the numbers on a Status 8 page or whatever. It's destroying people's human potential. And, you know, this is 15 years now that we haven't had any economic growth. And there's all these kinds of knock-on effects, you know, just for the economy. If we had more people in work, there'd be more people buying goods, which would stimulate the economy, which would mean there'd be more taxes, which mean you could build more roads and more hospitals and more schools and all that kind of thing, which in itself is economic multipliers, which then also help boost the economy because things are easier to get to wherever if the roads are working and there's more people. People are healthier because there are better hospitals. People are better educated because there's better schools and all kinds. And also with crime, there'd be more police.
That's a really important point. Which is that even if you think that economic growth wouldn't somehow uplift the condition of the poor at all, you have more money to do redistribution with if you have a larger economy that you can tax more from. This is, you know, the sort of reason why economic growth is good. It doesn't matter what your ideological perspective is. Even if you believe that, you know, free markets are the devil or whatever, if you have a larger economy, you can get more tax, which means you have more money to spend on hospitals, roads, all those good things you were just talking about there, Morris.
Yeah, and it just shows you, and there's this very weird, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, you know, loss of faith with the government that don't want to change policies, or if there's this real ideological belief that this is the only way to do things. But yeah, it's a human tragedy what's been going on in South Africa. And look, I mean, things can always change, and hopefully they do. And I do think that maybe the way BE is being defended so strongly now, I think in some ways, maybe I'm clutching at straws here, but maybe it is the kicks of a dying ideological horse. But yeah, let's see. But that could also just be incredibly wishful thinking on my part.
No, I don't think it is. This is actually exactly what John Endres and I were talking about earlier in the week, that I think the ground is shifting. And we may find 5 years from now that the country is in ideologically, I think, quite a different space from which it is now. Doesn't mean that the battle is over by any means. Doesn't mean that the debate is over. Far from it. We're only just beginning it. But I do think that the country is beginning to finally actually grapple with some of these policies in a very real way. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We hope you found this show interesting. And we'll see you tomorrow on The Daily Friend Show. That's right. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.